talk about Koch Tera Adif for a while now. We keep on getting sidetracked and not getting to it. Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow, starting tomorrow, we're going to move on to Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. We haven't discussed that yet, have we? Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. So Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow, that's sugya that's going to be on the Kuf Beis on the base. But first, I wanted to finish up the Lahalacha, this sugya of Shinui Makom when it comes to Bracha. So we had this machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes. So Rav Chista says, Hadam Shinui Makom Sarach Levarich is only by Dvarim Shein to Nubracha Lachrein Mimkoman. Only for burning the Fashos foods, that's where when you go to a new place you need a new Bracha. But if you're having Ala Michio or benching foods, you don't need a new Bracha when you are Mishanem Makom. And Rav Sheshes said, Echazeh, Echazeh, Sarach Levarich. You always need a new bracha, whether it's bar nefashos foods, whether it's alamichi foods, even alamichi, even benching foods, you're going to need to say a new bracha when you go to a different place. That was the shita of Rav Sheshes. That was machlokas, Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes. So we wanted to get into both how we paskin la halacha, and also about the general concept of koch de'etera adif in terms of how koch de'etera adif applies in our sugya. So why do we come across koch de'etera adif in our sugya? Because there is a Rashbam on daf kuf beis amud aleph in Dibra Maskul Lahodi Acha. If you look at daf kuf beis amud aleph, so I think we saw this a little bit. Lahodi Acha kocho de Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara had suggested that. The Gemara suggested that we have an additional tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan's shita. What was Rabbi Yochanan's shita? Rabbi Yochanan was one that disagreed with both Rav and Shmuel, and he said that if you said Kiddush and Shul, not only forget about whether you say Kiddush and Shul or not, but when you come home, you do not even need to say a new Borei Pri Hagafen. And even for Hilchos Brachos, you don't have to say new Borei Pri Hagafen. So the Gemara says, Lema Tehavi Tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan. So shouldn't we say that the Braisa that we just brought is a Tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan? So because the Braisa says that the Rabbi Yochanan said Shinu Makom is Ein Sarach Levarich, and he's not Mechalik at all between Dvarim Atu'unin Brach Achreim Mimkom and Dvarim Shein Tu'unin Brach Achreim Mimkom. Sounds like Rabbi Yochanan holds that you're never going to need to say new Bracha, even if it's Bari Nefashos foods. And nobody holds that way, right? That even if it's barin nefashos foods, you're not going to need to say new bracha. So don't we see that it's a tiyufta against Rabbi Yochanan? So Gemara said, well, we already have a tiyufta against Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara said, okay, leminami tavi tiyufta. This is also a tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says, no, maybe this brisa is not a tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan. Why not? Omer lecha Rabbi Yochanan. Hu adin dafilu dvarim she'ein tu'unin bracha l'achrein b'mekoben nami ein srichin levarech. When the Braisa says that you do not need to say a new bracha for ala michya and birchas hamazon type of foods, it doesn't mean only for ala michya and birchas hamazon type of foods. Even for bari nefashos foods, the Braisa means to say you don't need a new bracha. Ay, vadiktani akru ragleyen. So why does it talk about a case of akru ragleyen, which makes it sound like it's only about benching and ala michya type of foods? Lo diacha kochad Rabbi Yehuda. It's coming to emphasize how strongly Rabbi Yehuda holds its shita. Tafilu dvarim shetunu brach lachrein b'mkoman. That even things that are ala michya and benching types of foods, only if you leave mitzvahs chaverim are you not required to make a new bracha, but if you don't leave mitzvahs chaverim, you are required to make a new bracha. So we wanted to emphasize the strength of Rabbi Yehuda's shita. But when it comes to enochinami, the same halacha would apply for bar nefashos foods as well. So says the Rashbam, lo diacha kochod Rabbi Yehuda, says the Rashbam, four lines before the lines get very wide. V'lekala akshuye, do not ask. Da'ad adaraba l'shmina dvarim she'in tzrichun bracha l'achreim b'mekomen. You know what the Braisa should have spoken about? It should have spoken about a case of bari nefashos type of foods. Lo diacha kochan d'rabbanan, so that it could emphasize how strongly the rabbanan hold their shita, d'mekilin kolkach, that they're so mekil, sha'afilu aleihem ein srichan levarich, that even on bari nefashos types of foods, you're not going to need to make a new bracha. Umishum tekoach hetera adif. Because if you have an option of either emphasizing the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who requires a new bracha in all situations, or emphasizing the sheet of the Rabbanan, who never require a new bracha, wouldn't it be better to emphasize the Shita of the Rabbanan, who never require a new bracha? After all, Koach de Tera Adif. Koach de Tera Adif means that if we have two ways to formulate a machlokes, one way of formulating the machlokes will highlight just how strict the strict opinion is, and the other way of formulating it will highlight just how lenient the lenient opinion is. So we should formulate it in a way that highlights just how lenient the lenient opinion is. That's the concept of Koach de Tera Adif. Says the Rashbam, so why don't we say that over here? Why are we saying Lo Diacha Kocho de Rabbi Yehuda? We should have said Lo Diacha Kocho de Rabbanan. So says the Rashbam, Ein Lomar Kach, not a Kasha. De Ein Kochan Koach v'chashivus im Ein Matzrich Nevarich. Because it's not such a big deal to say that someone doesn't have to say a bracha. What's the Koach de Eter over here? The Koach de Eter is that you don't have to say a bracha. It's not, doesn't, the idea of Koach de Eter is that normally in order to be Mekel, you need to be a real Gavra Rabba. In order to be Mekel, you need to really know something in order to be Mekel. Because being Mekel means you tell somebody you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to do that, and if you're not allowed, they're going to be violating an Isser. So you need a real Gavra Rabba in order to say a Kula, normally. That's the concept of Koch De Tera Adif. So we want to emphasize what a Gavra Rabba the Dasa Mekilim was, that they're able to be Mekel in this kind of situation. He says, what does it mean to be Mekel over here? That you're not going to say a bracha? What kind of koach does that require to not say a bracha? What kind of chashivus is that? Svaruhu, the kivin shlohaya has a chadas bin a time, lo miyachs of yivarech. You weren't a mesiach das. So it's very logical to assume that you should not have to make a new bracha. Aval koach to Rabbi Yehuda adif tfei, shemach mir shtei chumros odivrei chachamim. Over here, Rabbi Yehuda is a bigger chiddish. Because he's machmir doubly on the chachamim. First of all, dlomi by dvarim shein srichim brach lachreimim koman shechayev levarichav pishachaver of potrin. That not only do we say things that don't require brach lachreimim koman, but even born in fashos foods are you chayev to be mevarich. Afilu dvarim at srichim brach lachreimim koman nami dechayev. But he adds an additional chiddush. Even al amichya and benching foods, you're gonna have to say a new bracha on. Therefore, it's koach di surah adif. What's Rashbam essentially saying? What he's essentially saying is that there's no real rule called koach de tera adif. There's nothing magical about a heter. There's nothing magical about a kula that automatically makes it better. What does koach de tera adif really mean? It means that we always want to emphasize the bigger chiddush. Normally, the bigger chiddush, when you're not sure which way to go, is to be makel. To be machmir is easy. Anyone could be machmir in a situation of suffix. Did you guys take a look at the slach by any chance? Did you have a chance to take a look at the slach? Can you grab a slach from the shelf over there? And beta, slach and masach beta, in the next set of shelves, the first shelf, I think. Big black svarim, slach. It should be slach and beta. Can you find one? So, normally, it's not there. It's somewhere there. Normally, the bigger chiddush is to be mekel, and the smaller chiddush is to be machmir. Because when you're not sure what to do, it's always safest and easiest to be machmir. Anyone could be machmir. Now you see it? Okay, great. Shkoyach. This is very reminiscent of what the Tzlach talks about at the beginning of Maseches Beitza. So what's the beginning of Maseches Beitza about? The beginning of Maseches Beitza is about Mukta. Right? Halachos of Mukta. Beitza shenol de biyomtov. Beitza is no let on yomtov, so that's Mukta. So where is it? Just a second. Finding it right now, but essentially the way it works is as follows. The Tzlach suggests the following: why is it that we say Koach de Tera Adif? Because whenever you're Mesupik, whenever you're not sure what to do, So the most logical thing to do is be machmir. If you're ever not sure what to do, so the logical thing to do is be machmir. Why is that the logical thing to do, to be machmir? Because whenever you have a suffix, what's the rule in sveikos? When you have a suffix, yes, sir? No, what is it? Suffix d'arais l'chumra. So that's why we would say, so it's a bigger chiddush to say l'kula, because normally when you have a suffix, we'd always assume suffix d'arais l'chumra. What if the issue were an issue midrabbanan? What if the issue were an issue midrabbanan? What would you normally assume? You'd normally assume l'kula. Would you say koch te'atera adif, therefore, is something that's a din d'rabbanan to begin with? So it says, it's most logical to assume that there's no concept of koch te'atera adif on something that itself is only an issue midrabbanan. Because the whole concept of koch te'atera adif, here it is. The whole concept of koch te'atera adif is that our natural position would have been to be machmir. So to come and be mekel is a koch te'atera. But if you're dealing with an issue midrabbanan in the first place, so naturally we would have been mekel. So what takes bigger guts, what takes real shtolts to do? To go and be machmir. So in an issue midrabbanan, koch di surah should be adif. Says the Tzlach in Beit Zedav Bezon Bezon, Rashi di Maraschal de Atera Adif, where Rashi explains the concept of koch di Atera Adif with the following words. Shehu someich al shmuaso. If you're willing to be mekel, it means you have confidence in your psak. Ve'inu yare lahatir. You're not afraid to be mekel. Aval kocha osrin. Shakol yicholun lesar. Afilu davar amutter. Anyone could aser. Doesn't take it. There's a rashi like that in Masechus Ksuvos. The Gemara in Ksuvos says, that by bia b'tchila b'shabbos, that one of the Amoraim was hora lesar, to say bia b'tchila b'shabbos is aser. So the Gemara has an expression. Mi ika hora'a l'iser? Is there such a concept of a hora'a for iser? Why not? What's wrong with saying hora'a for iser? So Rashi explains. Any fool could say something's aser. It's easy to say something's aser. It's very safe to say that something's aser. Then people will refrain from doing anything. But that's not a hora'a. Hora'a means you have a real psak, that you really put your mind to something and came to a real psak. Says the Tzlach, Hine, ani ragil lefarish, kocha de'atera adif, mishum dezen nachutz lashmienu, shim lo ne'da'a heter bibirur, srichnan lahachmir misafek, tesafek isa l'chumra. The reason kocha de'atera adif is because our natural position would be, safek da'raisa l'chumra. Aval ha'oser lo asalana to'elis bidvarim. And therefore when someone asers, he didn't change anything. He tells me to do exactly what I would have done had I not known anything. So he didn't really give me anything. I was going to ask her anyway because it's safek d'arayis l'chumra. Shavim yinu mesupakim gamkein yinu machmir machmas safek. Even if we didn't know, we would have been machmir misafek. Umitoch kachani rogel omer. And based on that, I am rogel to say, says the Tzlach. Dahad dekocha de'atera adif haynu im haplukti hi b'shal Torah. When do we say koch de'atera adif? That's when the machlokas revolves around in isidar raisa. Avalim aplukti hi b'shal sofrim. But if it's about an issue that's midrabanan, nahapuchu. It's just the opposite. To safek d'rabanan hulakula. Our natural assumption would have been to be mekil. Vim kein koch di surah adif. Shem lo di'enu shu asar yinu mekilim b'safek. In that situation, koch di surah would be adif, because had we not known anything, we would have been mekel misafek. So says the Tzlach, what's the context that koch de'atera adif comes up in Maseches Beitza? Beginning of Maseches Beitza is all about muktza daraisa drabanan. Drabanan, what's going on? How could you say koch de'atera adif and muktza? So he says, "Ulfiza b'shmaitin shubisa drabanan." Valf became amru kocha de'atera adif. Pirush Rashi mishum shakol yichol nasr afilu davra muter. That's why Rashi has to go out of his way to say, "Well, anyone could ask for even something that's really muter." Vamna mafal became yochol ani leskay b'masha ani rogel lefarish. He says, "But still, maybe I could justify my explanation of kocha de'atera adif, even in light of the fact that this comes up in Maseches Beitza by muktza." He says, because you have a suffix drabanan, we normally go l'kula, but a suffix muktza, we go l'chumra. Whoa, why? How do you be machmir a suffix muktza?
Suffix muktza is a suffix isur Shabbos. No?
But it's drabanan of Shabbos.
But the fact that fact that it's only Darabana, you're still violating.
So you're suggesting very big chiddush. You're saying every Yisur Darabana related to Shabbos should have a din of a Nisur Daraisa, of a Safik Daraisa.
Have a Safik Daraisa as well, yeah.
Yeah, so that's quite a big chiddush. I don't think we normally assume that way. So he says, Shuhu Chamor Ke'ein Daraisa. Muktzah is particularly chamor, it's treated like a Daraisa. Why? So he goes on to say, Ulmaskana de Masak Ravashi di Yom Tov Udover Shieshla Matirin Usveko Asur Gamke Nicha de Kochadete Radin. Maybe another reason why Muktza Safek Lahachmir is because there is a concept that when you have a Dover Shieshla Matirin, we're always going to be Mekel. A Dover Shieshla Matirin, I'm sorry, we're going to be Machmir even on a Safek, What's a Dover Shieshla Matirin? Something that right now is Asur, but if you just wait, it will become Mutter. So that's called davar sheyesh lo matirin. So normally, Safek Darabanan will say you go lekula. Why? Because we're mekel on dinim Darabanan. But if you have a davar sheyesh lo matirin, where why would you go to lekula? Just wait. Wait till it becomes mutter. Then you won't need to pask in lekula. So then we're going to be machmir on a Safek Darabanan if it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Muktza is by definition a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Why? Wait till Shabbos Yontif is over. Then it becomes mutter. So it says, then it works out really well that it's a davar sheyesh lematirin. And that's why muktza we can apply koach de tera adiv. It's an interesting concept to call muktza davar sheyesh lematirin. The achronim question that idea that muktza is a davar sheyesh lematirin. When we say davar sheyesh lematirin, let's say I have a piece of meat that right now I'm not allowed to eat, but if I wait a little bit, then it will become mutter to eat. Or, you know, you have something like that, that if something you're going to eat, or something you're going to use as a one-time thing, so I could use it now, or I could use it later. Right? So that would say, so it's a davar sheyesh lematirin, why would you use it now? As Rashi says in Masechta Pesach, ada achlinu be'isr l'achlinu be'heter. Instead of eating it while it's asr, wait till it becomes mutter, eat it then. You don't lose anything, might as well wait and eat it when it's mutter. But what if it's a thing of ishtamshus? It's not something that I'm going to eat once and that's it. What if it's a baseball bat? Right now the baseball bat is usr. If I wait, it will become mutter. So you're going to say a svara, well, I might as well wait until it becomes mutter. I will. I'm going to use it when it's mutter. But I also want to use it now when it's usr, meaning it's something that can be used multiple times. So its usage for right now, I'm never going to get back. When it's something I'm going to eat once, so it's either now or later. So then I understand davar sheyesh lematirin applies. But it's something I could do multiple times. So you know, it's not shaykh say, you might as well use it when it's mutter. I will use it when it's mutter, but I also want to use it when it's asr. This is the question that poskim have, just a second, poskim discuss. There's a halacha that after you eat fleshings, you're supposed to wait 6 hours before you eat milchings, right? We're familiar with this halacha. Chulin daf kofhei. Achal basar lo yachal chalav. That if a person ate basar, he's not allowed to eat chalav. For how long? So the Rishonim say 6 hours. The Rav Rishonim say 6 hours. That's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Fine. That's what the Mechaber passes at least in Shulchan Aruch. So you wait 6 hours. Let's say you're not sure if it's been 6 hours or not. So what would you say? You're not sure if it's been 6 hours since you last ate basar. It's either 5.5 or 6.5, and you wait 6 hours. You follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, you wait 6 hours. So what would you say? You have a suffix. Can you eat your cheese blintzes? No, why not? What's the rule of suffix in general by suffix yisurim? Suffix dar raisa l'chumra. Suffix is the isra of eating milk and flashings.
In this case, the heter is later on, so
because of that. Oh, okay. So let's take step by step. So on the surface, you would say suffix drabar l'kula. Because the isser of eating milchigs after fleshigs is nisr drabbanan, so safik drabbanan kula. So of course you should be able to eat. But comes along, Danny's a step ahead of us and says, "Well, wait a second. This is davar sheyesh lo matirin. That instead of eating the milchigs right now, just wait till it becomes mutter." So we don't say safik drabbanan kula on a davar sheyesh lo matirin. That's what one of the nosi kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch suggests. It's davar sheyesh lo matirin. So maybe you should wait. Wait till it becomes mutter. Because we don't say Safek Darabanan L'kula on a davar sheyesh lematirin. But what do we just say? That when does davar sheyesh lematirin apply? That's when it's going to be either or. I'll either do it now or I'll do it later. Maybe I'm going to eat milchigs later also. Yeah, I'm going to have my milk chocolate ice cream later also. But right now I also want to have it. So we don't say davar sheyesh matirin on something like that. Davar sheyesh matirin is a one-time deal. But all the milchigs in the world, I mean, it's not like I have one milchig item. It's milchigs. So I can have it now and I can have it later. So maybe it's not a davar sheyesh matirin. In which case, we're back to safek d'rabbanan l'kula. Rav Avadya writes in Yabi Omer that he thinks we could be makel on a safek like that. He has another svara why he could be makel. He says the svara is that when they originally instituted the 6 hours, you think they instituted mamish 6 hours, pumped exactly 6 hours? They didn't have watches. They could not have instituted a din that you got to wait exactly 6 hours. They looked at the sun and they said, oh, that's about 6 hours. So the whole minhag was only to wait about 6 hours. The minhag was never to wait exactly 6 hours. It was to be exact as possible, but you know, you look at the sun, and therefore, if you're not sure, it's roughly 6 hours. That was the whole minhag. That's how he explains the Rambam's famous kishay sha'os. Not that the Rambam was not sure how to express it, but that was the din. The din was kishay sha'os, what feels like 6 hours. If you know for sure that it's less than 6 hours, that's why some people think that it's into the sixth, right? Because the Rambam says kishay sha'os. That's how they're medayik from the Rambam. So Rav Avadya says, no, that's not correct. It's not that it means into the sixth. It means that if you're not sure, that you could be, that's what kishesh. If you're not sure, that it's roughly six, you could be mekel. Really, that's a different svara. But the idea that davar sheyesh lamatirin would only apply for something that you're going to use once, that's when you say that you have to be machmir misafek. But if it's something that you can use now and then again later, so then you don't have to be machmir misafek. So what about muktza? Muktza is an isur tiltul muktza. So I could be metaltal now and be metaltal later. So we should be vaiter back to saying it's not a davar sheyesh lamatirin, it's a safek d'rabbanan le kula. And according to the tzlach, we should not be able to apply koch teter adiv. How did the tzlach defend himself? You could say koch teter adiv by mukta because our normal assumption by mukta would be to be machmir misafek because it's a davar sheyesh lamatirin. But we're pointing out it's not so pasha that it's a davar sheyesh lamatirin. Since you could use it now and use it again later, maybe it's not a davar sheyesh lamatirin. And therefore you'd have to be machmir misafek. And therefore, therefore you'd have to be makel misafek because it's a regular safek to Rabbanan. And if you'd have to be makel misafek, we wouldn't say koach de ter adif. We should say koach de isura is adif.
I can have any one of my chicken bezas, but I want this one now. So it's not like there is no yesh matir. It's only in the case of food, but muksa by food would be considered yesh matir.
Why?
Because you want that there wouldn't be any yesh matir. Because you wouldn't want it, you want it now. Later you're not going to be craving this egg later. You want it now, you want your egg now. Later you care, you can have a thousand of them.
Yeah, but that's the whole concept of davar sheyesh lamatirin, is that wait till later.
No, but you don't even want it later. You're not going to want it later. You only want it now.
Right. Even so, right, the svara would be that instead of having it be'isr, have it better. Find the mutter egg to eat now. Why would you have this thing when it's usr if you could just wait till it's, you're not going to throw it out. Just wait till it's mutter and have it then. That's at least how Rashi in Mesachas Beis explains davar sheyesh lamatirin. That if this very item is going to be mutter, so you might as well wait till it's mutter.
Let's say it's never going to become mutter. It's going to get rotted. It's going to rot. It's never going to become mutter.
So then it's not a davar sheyesh lamatirin.
Then what's the ramification of that?
Then you say regular dinam of safek. Regular dinam of safek of Balakuma.
Because
your own preference. No, davar sheyesh lamatirin, if the whole svara according to Rashi is why would you have it now, have it later? Well, if having it later it's not going to be good anymore, so then that's why.
Changes.
Yeah, I think that would change there are other halachas davar sheyesh lamatirin. Davar sheyesh lamatirin is not batel. Normally we have laws of bittel in halacha that you can be mevatel and nisir. Davar sheyesh lamatirin doesn't become batel. So according to Rashi, why not? Because why would you rely on bittel? Just wait till it's all mutter, and then it's not even, you don't have to rely on bittel. It's like being mevatel is the charchila to rely on bittel, because you could just not have to rely on bittel at all by just waiting. The Ran in Maseches Nedarim has a different explanation why Devar Sheyesh Matirin is not Batal. Ran says a fascinating thing. This is a little off topic, but it's a very important Ran. The Ran in Maseches Nedarim writes that how does Bittul work? You have a giant bowl, pot of chicken soup, and a little milk, a drop of milk falls in. So the milk is ki'ilu, it's not there. It's batel. Batel b'shishim. Why? Why is it batel? Why don't I say it's basa b'chalak? Why is it batel? Because if you were to taste that chicken soup, you won't taste any milk. The milk loses all of its character. It's been overwhelmed by chicken soup. Right? But if you have, let's say, min bimino, you have two like kinds. Let's say you have trefa chicken soup and kosher chicken soup. So even the tiniest amount of trefa chicken soup is still going to be asr. Why? Because the character of chicken soup hasn't been overwhelmed and gone. Adraba, it's strengthened by being mixed with other chicken soup. So it's all strengthened, it's all built together. When you have friction between two opposite characteristics, that's where you could have bittul. But if two things are fundamentally the same, they're not going to be mivatel each other, they enhance each other. So says the Ran, just like that's true in Metzius, in a taste of milk, and a taste of... It's also true halachically. When does bittul happen? When you have a tiny amount of isser that's overwhelmed by heter. There's so much heter that it completely takes away all character of isser from something. That's when you have bittul. But let's say you have something that's usr, that's not really usr. It's temporarily usr. But really, be'etzim, if you ask this little piece of muktzah, what are you? He will tell you, I am mutter. This little egg will say, I'm mutter, I'm a kosher egg. It's just right now you can't use me. But right now, but fundamentally in my core, I'm really something that's mutter. Well, then you have a dvar heter mixing with a dvar heter. And two mutter things cannot cancel each other out. Because two things that are characteristically the same enhance each other. They're not mevatel each other. Bittul happens when there's conflict. That's how the Ran explains the concept of bittul on Devar Sheyesh Matirin.
The bittul thing. Basar could follow. Do we consider chicken vaday basar, or is it just basar d'rabbanan?
Midrabbanan. Vaday basar midrabbanan.
So why is always a classical case of like bottle machine, like chicken soup? Why is it not chillin?
Okay.
Because I'm saying generally there's only an is d'rabbanan, but it should be more.
But it's vaday basar midrabbanan.
But like, I don't know, beef stew
is. Yeah, okay. So you want to say it with beef stew? You can say it with beef stew.
No, I'm just curious. Why? I'm always curious.
I think because Jews always ate chicken soup. Jews couldn't always afford beef.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
In
Europe it was potatoes. It wasn't meat and potatoes. That was an American addition to the
meat
to the lexicon. Yeah. So anyway, so what we saw over here is the Rashbam. The Rashbam had this idea that koach de'etera adif does not apply over here because it does not apply in our Gemara because the greater chiddush was to be more machmir. Normally the greater chiddush is to be more mekel, but over here the greater chiddush was to be more machmir because it's most mistaver that you'll be mekel, you're not going to say a bracha. Whenever you're not sure, we always say seven brachas lakel. It's most mustaver that you'll always be makel, not say a bracha. But to tell me to say a bracha, and not just say a bracha, but even on alamichya and benching foods, to say a bracha with a shinui makom, that's a gevaldik chiddush. That's how the Rashbam said. Now, when the Rashbam says that we should, when he feels a need to explain why we don't say koach tetera adif over here, he's very clearly classifying something as heter and something as a chumrah. One thing as a kula, one thing as a chumrah. We have two options. You ate something in place A, you went to place B, you want to know, do I need to say a bracha? So the Rashbam says, if your answer is no, don't say a bracha, that means you are being, what, mekel or machmir? If the answer is don't say a bracha, what is that? That's being mekel. If the answer is do say a bracha, that's being machmir. Good, that's what the Rashbam assumes, and that's why he's bothered by this whole kasha. Why would we be emphasizing the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? He's the koach di surah, he's the one that says you have to make a bracha. We should emphasize the sheet of the Rabbanan because they're the Koach Tera. That was Rosh Bam's whole kasha. The Marshal in the back of the Gemara is not convinced that he's labeling things correctly. Maybe the Koach Tehetera, the Mekel Shita, would be to say a bracha. Maybe that's a kula. And the chumra is that no, you're not allowed to say a bracha. Why? How could you call it a kula to say a bracha?
We all know that it's something brachas ha'akel. So that's to say.
Why is it something brachas ha'akel?
Because it's bracha we showed it in Derabana.
Good, that's one definite possible explanation. What else? What if you say bracha when it's not necessary? What did you do?
Shem Shemayim.
And that's an Isser
Daraisa.
If I'm going to say a bracha when I'm not necessarily chayiv, I'm risking violating an Isser of Losisa. But if I don't say a bracha, I'm not risking the Isser. So it could be, it's not a heter to say don't say a bracha, it's a chumra. It's a chumra in Losisa. You're not allowed to say this bracha because it might be a violation of Losisa. You know what the kula would be? The kula would be, don't worry, it's okay, you can make the bracha. And it's not going to be a violation of Losisa. That's a kula! So says the Marshal, I think the Rashbam is mislabeling what's a kula, what's a chumra. Meaning his whole kasha was, why are we emphasizing the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the koach de Yisura? We should emphasize the koach de Teira. Says the Marshal, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is the koach de Teira. Because he's telling you to say a bracha. And that's a heter. That's a kula that you're allowed to say the bracha. Now the raya against the Marshal, the Marshal points out is from a Gemara in Brachos in Daf Samach. The Gemara in Brachos discusses whether you make a shechianu when you buy something that you already have. You buy an item that you already have, the exact same item you already got by Yerusha. The Gemara also discusses, do you make a shechianu when you buy an item that you've already bought a similar item before? You get the two cases? First case is, I already have it, but I got it by Yerusha. The second case, I already have it because I bought it, because I paid for it. So I already have it. So Gemara is Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rav Huna, and there are two Lashonos what case they're arguing about. Do they only argue on a case where you got it by Yerusha, but if you bought it, then for sure, you would not make a bracha, because you already said a shechianu the first time you bought it? Or do they argue if you've already bought it? And therefore, if you got it by Yerusha, everyone would say that you do make a bracha when you get it the second time. So Gemara quotes Machlokes of Meir Rabbi Yehuda about someone who has Yerusha, and he buys the same item again. So it sounds like if he had it because he had already bought it, that it didn't come by Yerusha, he definitely would not have to say new bracha. The whole machlokas is only because he got it by Yerusha. But if had he bought it, then for sure it wouldn't be a new bracha. So the says the Gemara, it's a kasha, and Rabbi Yochanan holds, according to the second lashon, that even if you buy it, you do need to make a new bracha. So Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need to make a new bracha, even in a case where you bought it. But we mention the machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda in a case where you got up Yerusha, lehodiacha kocho de Rabbi Meir, to emphasize how strong Rabbi Meir is in his shita, namely, that even if you have it only as a Yerusha, you have never bought it, you never purchased it, still you don't have to say a bracha. We want to emphasize that shita of Rabbi Meir, that you don't have to say a new shechianu, even though you only got it by Yerusha the first time, you never previously bought it. That still Rabbi Meir is going to say, you don't have to say a Shechianu. Ask the Gemara, I have a better idea. Why don't we mention the Machlokes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda in the case where the guy already bought it, and thereby emphasize the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that even though you already bought it previously, you're still going to have to make a new Shechianu this time. Tell me the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, emphasize how strongly Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're going to have to make a new bracha. What do you think the Gemara's answer is? Why do we emphasize Rabbi Meir's Shita? Why do we say the Machlokas in a way that emphasizes Rabbi Meir's Shita rather than Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? Koach, Teira, Adiv. we want to emphasize the sheet of Reb Meir not to say a Shechianu, rather than to emphasize the sheet of Reb Yehuda to yes say the Shechianu, because Koach Tetera Adiv. So says the Marshal, you see that the Rashbam is right and that the Marshal is wrong. That when it comes to brachos, saying a bracha is considered the chumra, not saying the bracha is considered the kula. That's how we categorize things, that's how we label things. So granted, the Marshal Misvara had a fair point that saying a bracha is risking an isra of losisa, so maybe that's a kula in hilchos losisa, and not saying a bracha is a chumra in hilchos losisa. But you see clearly from that Gemara that that's not how we view it. We view it from a hilchos brachos perspective. Telling somebody to say a bracha is a chumra in hilchos brachos. Telling somebody not to say a bracha is a kula in hilchos brachos. That's how we label things from a hilchos brachos perspective. Now, the Marsha deals with the svara of the Marshal. Why is it taka that we don't look at it from a hilchos losisa perspective? And the Marshal says, brachos are not ma'akev by birchas mitzvahs. Let's say you want to do a mitzvah, you want to take lulav, and you didn't say a bracha. Ner Chanukah, and you didn't say a bracha. You yotze the mitzvah? Absolutely yotze the mitzvah, you just didn't get the bracha. But by birchas hananin, if you don't make a bracha, you violate an iser if you eat b'li bracha. It's ki'ilu, you violate a mi'ilu, the Gemara in Brachas Taf Lamed Hei says. So if the Rabbanan say that you could eat without a bracha, that's a kula. Why is it a kula to tell you that you're allowed to eat without a bracha? Why is that a koach tetera, a kula? Because it's an iser to eat without a bracha. So they're being makel that you're not in violation of that iser. So that's why not saying a bracha is a koach tetera. And one could argue the same is true by birchas and mitzvahs. Shachta points out, shame of salvation, that the Rambam is a famous formulation when he describes birchas and mitzvahs. He says you make a bracha on a mitzvah just like you make a bracha on food. He equates the two. How can you equate the two? One is a bracha that Chazal Masake and before doing a mitzvah, and one is because it's stealing from God to eat before you make a bracha. What do they have to do with each other? Elamai, the pshat is that who am I to serve God, to claim that I know what's going to make God happy, that I'm going to be allowed to serve Him? The bracha in the birchas mitzvah is also a matir. It's usher to approach God even with a mitzvah without first saying a bracha is a matir. And therefore, if you're telling me that I'm not allowed to say a bracha, you're being maker. Because you're telling me that I'm allowed to do this mitzvah without the matir. If you tell me that I have to say a bracha, you're being machmir. All right, we'll stop there. Maybe a little bit we'll get into the Pesach Halacha over here before we go on to mitzvahs chavilas, but for tomorrow, at least go back to the Gemara and at least get to the mitzvahs chavilas discussion. Let's try to daven mincha.